Today on Real Radio.
We're the most critical judges of ourselves, and maybe sometimes that's a good thing. But the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Close the deal. Don't wait for some more righteous person to come along. No such person exists.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called Why Should I? It's a collection of biblical lessons that explore what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices for the believer. When we hear the word evangelist, we often think about that gifted speaker in that big outdoor venue with a PA system, asking folks to come forward to give their life to Jesus. The buses will wait, your friends will wait, and all that. And yet, you know, the pages of Scripture lay out a history of various believers from quite a variety of backgrounds who communicate the truth of God's Word in, well, a whole lot of different ways. So, are we all called to step up to the microphone, so to speak? Let's explore what the pages of Scripture have to say about the different ways we all can be used in the communication of the gospel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with a lesson that takes a look at the question, why should I evangelize?
The Bible tells us regarding our lives being changed, by the way, that people heard the gospel, they believed in it, they were changed. You know, people can be changed overnight. There can be a phone call that comes into the church and someone's got a pistol to their head. They've lost their job. Their wife just left them. Their kids can't stand them. They've got nothing but bills stacking up, so they put a gun to their head. What do you do with somebody like that? You throw them some new kids and a new wife? It's not going to fix it. You know what fixes it? Instantly over the phone. All right, just stop for a minute. But seriously, before you blow your brains out, give me 10 minutes. That's how you got to talk to somebody who's about ready to do themselves in. Before you do it, give me 10 minutes. Okay. Don't you understand? Maybe you need to hear that Jesus Christ is with you right now. He wants you to open your heart to Him. This whole situation has been engineered by God so that you would call out in this desperation. You happen to have dialed this phone number. We're talking right now. And listen, buddy, I will not take that as a coincidence. It is of God, and you need to hear this. God loves you. He died on the cross for you. You've come to the end of your rope, but I want to tell you, God's got a brand new beginning for your life. If you will just right now believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, rose again from the dead, and that He loves you. You need Him. What causes a man to put the gun down? A change of mind. Now, your conversion may not have been that drastic in that moment. But all of us this morning who raises our hands to say, yes, I know Jesus, we have been converted, and it begins with a mind. God wants you to think. He wants you to use your head. Christians are to never check their brains in at the door as they come into the building. Clear your head and think more critically when you come into a church setting. Know history. Get involved in what God has written. Know what you believe in. And the more you do that, the more faith you have, the stronger you developing your Christian experience. And all that's true because when we accepted Christ, our minds were changed. The word in Greek is metanoia. We call it the word repentance. It's to have a change of mind. And it happens in an instant. Not only that, when our lives are changed, our mind is changed, but our heart. That's the second thing that happens when there's a change in our lives. All of our hearts have been changed. We used to have different kind of hearts. Our hearts lived and pursued certain things. We lived for certain affections, we'll call it that way. But when we accepted Christ, there was an awakening that happened in our hearts. Well, the Bible says we were given new ones. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 tells us God gave us a new heart. The moment of conversion. So you see this very clinical word, why should we evangelize? We can soften it down, maybe to go down easier for us here. It's sharing. telling others. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. With God, you can. Aren't we funny? We can tell people about all kinds of stuff. Total strangers. We can tell them, oh, you know what? Oh, you don't want to buy one of those. You want to buy one of these. This one will break. That one's a piece of junk. You'll be in line. Someone will, oh, I think I'll get this. You don't want to buy that. It's garbage. Buy this one instead. I mean, is that how you are? I don't know about you, but that's, you know, why not? Somebody, you know, I want that. Oh, you know what? Go ahead. But mine broke last week. Maybe yours is better. I'll just tell them. And it's a fun thing. You say, well, you're really outgoing. I haven't always been outgoing. I'll tell you that, and I'll tell you that more in a minute. But you know what? I don't care anymore. Because you know what? What people think about me, it's usually wrong anyway. So what am I trying to do? Run around and you know, influence people and have friends kind of a thing? It just doesn't work. Just live for the Lord. You know what? It'd be fine. And tell them. You don't have to walk up and say, hey, mister, listen, my life's changed. The guy will call the cops, and he probably should if you do it that way. But when the opportunity is right. By the way, you ask the Lord, Lord, I'd like to tell somebody. Tomorrow's Monday. It's a whole new week. I want to tell somebody about you. If you ask God to do that, you better hang on to your seat. Because you know what God's going to do? Some guy's going to walk up and say, I need a change in my life. Ding, ding, ding. Open door. Hello. It's true. You don't think it's true. Try it. Watch what happens. God, use me today. Watch what happens. It's amazing. But see, the thing is, at one point, at some time in our lives, someone shared Jesus with us, and we responded, and our lives were changed forever. Here's what I fear. And this is one of the dangers of a larger church. We get churchized or Christianized. I'm saved. Family saved. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Okay, we're saved. And we're saved here. What do we care? As long as we're going to heaven, everybody else, you know, they can go wherever. Watch out. Aren't you glad that the person who shared Jesus with you didn't have that attitude? Hey, you look like a wretch of a person. I'm saved. You're not. See ya. Man, somebody shared with us. Maybe it was over the radio. Maybe it was through a friend. By the way, most people who come to Christ do not come to Christ in crusades. Did you know that? It's personal evangelism. Someone sharing over a cup of coffee what Jesus Christ has meant to them. Talking about the reality of God with conviction. Changed lives. He's changed our mind. He's changed our hearts. And absolutely, he's changed our life. He's changed our life. Greatest example, I believe, to the unbelieving world out there, the secular world, because I've seen documentaries on this on the Learning Channel and on the History Channel, is the life that was changed by a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. His name, well, you know him as the Apostle Paul. Not too long ago, the History Channel did a special on his life. And that they have concluded that outside of Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle has affected the world more than any other person that has ever lived. The cool thing about that is, what was Paul doing before his life was converted? He was killing Christians. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's not funny. I mean, isn't that odd? It's peculiar. Acts chapter 9 talks about how Paul met up with Jesus Christ. So the two most influential people on the planet is Jesus and Paul. And they preach the same message. I've heard this week on the news that there's been a few women that have expressed carefully the hope of freedom in Iraq, in Baghdad. Because you see, their problem is they're women. And they're not allowed to have any freedom. And so the regime is changing. And apparently, maybe, some beliefs may change soon, and some women are excited about freedom.
You say, well, Pastor, what are you suggesting?
Only this. Get out your history books and find out wherever Christianity has gone, ask the women if they like it. I like to say that sarcastically even. Ask the women if they like Christianity. Because when they open up the Bible, they find out that God views a man and a woman equally as one. That one has no greater rights over the other, but they're all the same in Christ. That God loves women. That God has a plan. God uses them in ministry and He uses them in life. And there are people in certain parts of the world that are starting to hear that they don't have to be instruments of burden or bearing, but God loves them. You and I, we have grown so content and almost callous because God has changed our lives. But some people in the world this morning are waking up to a whole new hope. And we have forgotten. The gospel changes people's lives. It's a fantastic thing. Watch how fun this is. In my notes, I've written down this for us to catch the dynamic that's here. You think you have to be some Billy Graham to lead people to the Lord? Watch what happens in John chapter 1, verse 35. The very next day, John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples. And as Jesus walked by, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In other words, that's the one that will take away all of our sins. That's what that means. When his disciples heard that, they followed Jesus. That's a smart thing. See you later, John. If that's true, we're after him. But Jesus turned to them and said to those who followed, "Why are you seeking after me?" And they said, "Rabbi," or "teacher, where are you staying?" And so they went with him. Jesus said, "Come and see." And so they came and saw, and they stayed with him that day. Now one of those two that had heard John speak, that had followed Jesus, his name, listen everybody, watch this, his name was Andrew. He was Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and he said to him, "We found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, the Savior. And he, that is Andrew, brought Peter to Jesus. That's all we hear about. Now when Jesus looked at him, Jesus said, "Simon, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone or a pebble. Again, the following day, Jesus, desiring to go to Galilee, northern Israel, he found Philip. Isn't that interesting? Jesus wanted to find Philip. Philip had never met Jesus. But Jesus was after Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Then Philip found Nathanael. And he said to him, "We have found him who Moses and the law and the prophets wrote of, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, and I like the way he thinks, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Hey, come and see, we found Jesus of Nazareth. Ah, there's nothing but a bunch of bums that come out of Nazareth. What's the invitation? He says to Nathanael, "Come and see." So Nathanael went and saw. People, just invite them to church? No, I mean, yes, you can, but that's not the point. You can bring people to church for the rest of their life. It's not going to save them. Invite them to meet Jesus. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, I've been sharing with people, but I try to get them in here to close the deal." You don't have to do that. "Oh, I thought you're the guy that closes the deal." I don't close the deal. You close the deal. You've been witnessing to them. God has used you to influence for the gospel into their hearts. You've told them, "You know, you believe Jesus?" "Yeah, I do." Man, have you ever been fishing? At that moment when you say, "Do you believe that Jesus died for you, my friend?" "Yeah, I do." Can't you hear the reel go? I mean, that fish is going with it. Reel him in. Have you been sharing with your friends? Do they know? Look, you've already told them. Look, you've already told them Jesus died for their sins, that he rose again from the dead, and they haven't run away yet? Set the hook. How do you set the hook? Stop beating around the bush. How do you stop beating around the bush? Get to the point. What's the point? Close the deal. Tell them, you know what? Jesus says he stands at the door and knocks. And if any man will open up, he'll come in and have supper. He'll dine. He'll live with you. Will you right now, would you like to receive Christ? You are going to be blown away. Because more often than not, they're going to say, yeah. And you're going to go crazy. Wait, what was that prayer? What was that prayer? There's got to be an 800 line for this. There is no prayer. Just say, okay. Say, thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. I want you. I want you. I believe you died. Rose again from the dead. I believe you died from the dead. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's not some liturgical thing. Close the deal. And you have the authority because you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Your mind has been changed. Your heart's been changed. Your life has been changed. And they've been talking to you. And they've been watching you. And I know you put yourself down because I put myself down. We're the most critical judges of ourselves. And maybe sometimes that's a good thing. But the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Close the deal. Don't wait for some more righteous person to come along. No such person exists. Close the deal. Come and see was the invitation. That's an exciting thing. Point number two is this. Why should we evangelize as a church? Because we have been awakened to spiritual things. We have been awakened. That's why we should go tell other people. See, what does that have to do with anything? The lights are on now in our lives, in our hearts. Again, most of us, and I know that in this church there are many, many seasoned believers. The danger about being a seasoned believer, if we're not out there exercising our faith in the world, we can get kind of stagnant. We forget what it's like. Your eyes are open. You see things that your neighbors don't see. You can understand things spiritually that the people of the world are still groping for to understand. And we kind of view it so little, so small. Oh, they're not going to care about this. Or I know so little. What you know can change the course of their lives forever. You're missionaries to your home, to your neighborhood, and to the community that you're in. Your life's been changed. And God wants to tell people about his power in your life because they want hope. Don't think for a moment that people are out there without Jesus and they have hope. They're doing everything they can to obtain something that will resemble a hope. They'll do anything and everything to fill that gap, that void, so they'll go around and buy an 8-pound upright auric vacuum. They're looking for meaning, so they're going to go get that car. Because if they got a little car, to them, they don't mean anything. Because they have no status or viability in this world in their eyes. They've got to communicate something that says to the world around them that they do. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great wealth. We've been awakened to the fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. We've been awakened to that. The world out there is still trying to find other ways. We need to tell them. We need to show them. Well, we've been awakened. How so? This way. Now we know something. Can you jot that down? How have I been awakened? Number one, I know something. So what do you mean? Didn't I know anything before I came to Christ? Oh yeah, you knew a lot. But now you and I know something. It's what counts. You can have a PhD. You can have a doctorate. You can have your degrees and plaques and certificates, that's fantastic. And that's great. We're glad. But you can't take them with you. But you know what? Somebody can know John 3:16 and believe it and go into eternity forever in heaven with God. We know something now. It's not that we didn't know anything before, but now we know what counts. And that's such an important thing. We know this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tells us that we were once lost in our sins. We were once alienated from God, but now by the grace of God, we have been saved. You know what that means? I know you know what that means, but maybe someone listening doesn't know what it means. It means God saved us when we couldn't save ourselves. It means that in our own estimation and in the estimation of the world, we were nothing. And God thought we were everything. When nobody else would loan us a nickel, God sent his only son into the world to die for us. That's how precious we are in the sight of God. And that's how precious the message is that we get to tell other people about. See, this has nothing to do about a crusade or the gift of an evangelist. It has to do with telling others. Well, not only do we have something, but we've got something to say now. We used to say something. People are probably still trying to figure that out. But now we've got something to say. There's meaning to what we're speaking of. Our personal testimonies when you tell people about what God has done in your life. John chapter 9, I'll paraphrase it, verses 1 through 15. It's a great, great event. Jesus sees a man who, the Bible says, has been blind from birth. Now listen how cruel this is. His disciples are walking with him. They walk by this blind guy, and the disciples... Now remember, the guy's not deaf. He's blind. The disciples say, "Hey, Jesus! Concerning this guy, who sinned, him or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Well, why don't you just give him a paper cut and pour lemon juice on it? Jesus turns around and says, this guy wasn't born blind because of his sin or his parents' sins. This guy was born blind to the glory of God. Now pause right there. You mean I can have a handicap and suffer with it through life for the glory of God? Excuse me, but I'd like to vote on this. Life's not like that. We don't get to vote on it. But picture yourself sitting there. He's a beggar, says the Bible, asking people, help for the blind. I'm blind. Help me. Help. Hey, Jesus, who's the big sinner? Him or his parents? Nobody. But for the glory of God, this man's been born blind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Why Should I Evangelize? It's a look at what Scripture has to say about sharing with others the truth of God's Word. Why Should I Evangelize? Part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons simply called, Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, today being Monday means that you can catch our television program tonight. The program is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday, 7 p.m. West Coast time on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, by the way, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some pretty fascinating people to discuss the real life hard-hitting topics that affect, well, all of us as believers at one time or another. Everything from issues on a personal level to those on an international scale. Just to give you an idea, here are some of the guests we've had on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Dr. David Hawking, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Kurt Bruner, and Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. Actually, it's quite a number of well-known guests, but you'll see Pastor Jack also teach on scriptural topics as well. And tonight, it's another Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, for your point-and-click convenience, if you will, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.